Well, I'd like to wish the fathers a happy Father's Day, and you may be seated. And I'd like for you to turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. Now, if I were to ask you the question, what kind of father do you have, or what was your father, your earthly father, what was he like? You know, I believe there would be many different types of answers. If you had a happy childhood, you may remember a father as a man that would, you know, pick you up and hold you and hug you and say, you know, I love you, and just a very affectionate experience. It could be that you had the father that was the strong, silent type, you know, who spoke very little but did much. As you look back and you appreciate all that father did, though maybe he was not as expressive with his words, his actions expressed his love. On the other hand, you may have had a father who showed very little interest in you. Could be that your father was so busy that he gave his work most of his attention and you felt, you know, somewhat neglected. And some, unfortunately, you know, it's like, I don't know, you know, I didn't really know my father. And I think that this message is so appropriate for our day and our time when we really need to know the Father. And when I speak of the Father, I'm speaking of the Father. What kind of Father is God? That's what I want to talk about this morning. We call God Father. And the Father is who we know as the first person of the Trinity, and we pray. And we address God as Heavenly Father, but what kind of Father is He? And what do you think when you think of God the Father? What has been your experience with God as Father? And you might say, well, you know, I never really gave this a lot of thought. No one has ever asked me the question, what kind of Father is God? But one thing we know about God the Father from the Bible is that God never changes. And I love that. God is unchanging. James wrote to the church. He said, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good and gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow or turning. God does not change. Now, James says that in him there is no variation, there is no change. He does not have a shifting shadow. You know, when I'm out in the sunlight, you know, as I move, my shadow changes, but not with God. God is the one who he describes himself in his nature and his character, and he says about himself that he never changes. So if I were to ask 10 of you what kind of God he is, it's very possible that you may get 10 different answers. You might get different answers from different people, but that does not affect the very nature of who God claims and who God says he is and who we know from the scriptures who God is as Father. So what kind of Father is he? Now, when James wrote about the Father, he said, do not be deceived. The reason there are so many ideas about what kind of a father God is simply because people are indeed, there are many deceived people when it comes to God. I do believe that is by design, not by God's design. It is the design of Satan to confuse and to distract and to destroy who God is as Father. Now, it is not just God as Father, it is who we are as earthly fathers as well. I find it interesting that I just was curious. I checked the news this morning. I thought, you know, there's got to be some news story about fathers. I went into all the major news. There was not one single article about fathers. But did you know that when Gay Pride Month started, the news was inundated with Gay Pride Month? And I thought, isn't that just the way of the world? They will not mention fathers, but they will mention gay pride. That is because there is an effort to destroy every institution, and one of the most important is that of being father. And there is much confusion. And James says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren, and we do have to be careful. So what we talk about this morning is what kind of father God is. Because you are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Paul wrote to the Galatians. Now, if you are taking notes, you can just jot this down about this passage. At first, it describes the relationship that God wants with you. It describes the relationship God wants to have with each of us. And what is that relationship? Well, I look at it and I say, well, that's a father, that's a parent-child relationship. Because you are sons. Now, here Paul is reminding us of something that he has already written back in chapter 3. Paul described how a person comes into this relationship whereby they call God Father and God calls us sons. That's Galatians 3, verse 26. For you are all what? You are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So you are sons, that is, by faith in Christ Jesus. John, in his first letter to the church, he wrote, Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And in the next verse, John writes, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. So we are the beloved, and that means that God loves us very deeply. He gives to us the position as sons. And that is by faith in Jesus Christ. We have this wonderful position. Now, I don't know how your earthly father was. Did he or did he not love you? But God's word declares that you are the beloved. You are beloved. Now, if you could say, well, what kind of father was my dad? Well, he was a dad who called me his beloved son. That to me would indicate that he was a father who had a tender heart toward his child. A father that showed love and cared affectionately for his child. Now, I did not have that type of earthly father. Maybe you can relate to my father, some of you. Mine was a very strict disciplinarian. When Delene first met my father, you know, and they came to visit, and when we met them down in Corpus Christi, and we went out to eat, Delene was shocked. She said, I just couldn't believe that you went up and you shook your father's hand, and everything was yes, sir, and no, sir. And that is just the way it was with my father. I never heard the words, I love you. I never had a hug. There was no affection whatsoever. And you know, quite frankly, I can't really blame him because I know his father. And, you know, it was just, that was the way it was. Men did not hug. Men did not say, I love you. And there was just a formal relationship. And that's the type of father figure that I had. If your earthly father, if he was somebody maybe that was angry with you or criticized you or was not happy with you most of the time, I have found that many times people, when they first come into the relationship, they kind of take that position with God. Now, fortunately, it does not remain that way. So what has to happen is there has to be a surrender to the heart of God as to what he says about himself as father. And so he says to you that you're not just a son, but he said you are a beloved son. Because you are sons, Paul writes. So number one, we discover in this verse the relationship that God wants to have and is made available to you by faith in Jesus Christ. And it is a relationship of a beloved son to a father. Secondly, we see in this passage not only the relationship, but that God helps us to understand or to identify with him as father. Look at what it says. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. God so desires that you and I understand him and know him as Father, this father-son relationship, that he sends the Holy Spirit into your hearts. Now, How many of you have ever had a family member that has come to live with you? And other than a child, they come to live with you in your home, and you know that maybe that does not conjure up good memories for you. But there is something about family living together. You know, it's like when you're in the same home together, it's like you really get to know each other pretty well, don't you? That's how families are. You spend time together. You eat together. You talk with each other. Well, here, the Word of God says that God sends one of the family to live inside of you. He sends the Holy Spirit. Now, why does God send the Holy Spirit? And you, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. Why is that? I believe in part, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, it's to empower you. But it's not just to empower you for the work of God, it's to empower you to begin to understand and to know and to identify with God as Father, as He wants to be known. I'll think back just for a moment. Before you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, how did you identify with God? What did you think about God? Well, for some of you, maybe He was that distant being. Well, I believe that there is a God, but you know, He's not interested in me, and He's not interested in you, and you know, He's disinterested, and He's not a personal God. Unfortunately, there are some Christians that believe that too. But that may have been your idea of God, that He was impersonal, that He couldn't be known. And in your mind, God wasn't interested in knowing you. And that was how you thought about God. And as such, you couldn't know God as Father. He wasn't Father. He was just God. He was impersonal, distant, disconnected with your life, and unknowable. But what you didn't know is that God wants you to know Him as Father. And you didn't discover that until you came to Him through Jesus Christ, and you began to learn and you began to identify and understand what that means to have God as Father. And by faith in Jesus, He became Father, and you are a son, and now God wants you to know Him. And so He sends the Spirit, He sends the family member to live inside of you and to teach you what kind of Father God is. Jesus, speaking to His disciples prior to His ascension into heaven, He said in John 14, 25 and 26, He said these things, "I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." It is the Spirit that teaches. The Spirit gives to us understanding. The Spirit helps us to identify with the Father. The Spirit has been sent into the heart of the believer so that we can know what kind of Father we have. Now, I will tell you this, and I've heard it preached, and I think there's something to it, but you've probably heard this as well, that you cannot really identify with God correctly as Father unless you have the right type of earthly father. Now, I've heard that taught. I think I've even said some things that are similar. But after, you know, a lifetime in the Scriptures and spending with God and, really the Holy Spirit teaching, I have come to discover that it was never my earthly father's responsibility. The pressure was not all on Him to show me what God the Father is like, because no man, I don't believe it's possible. I think that we can have the love of God. I think there's a lot of things, but Jesus Himself said, if an earthly father knows how to give good gifts, how much more will the Heavenly Father give to those who ask? What that means to me is that the earthly father cannot compare in what He can give as far as what God gives to us as Heavenly Father. He's beyond any earthly father. But it is the Holy Spirit living inside of me. It was not my earthly father, thankfully, because He was no picture of God in any way whatsoever. But the Holy Spirit living inside helps me to understand, because he's the one that really wants me to know God as the perfect Father. So God wants a father-son relationship. God wants us to know him. He sends this family member, the Spirit, into our hearts. I added this to my notes because I did want to share something that really struck me this past week. I was traveling, and I visited a very close friend in Southern California. He was actually the worship leader for Calvary Costa Mesa for many years when we first came and to Costa Mesa, John Wickham. Some of you recognize the Wickham name. That's Phil Wickham's father, of course. I like to say, well, actually, Phil Wickham is John Wickham's son. And, you know, just a really wonderful man. He's 70 now, and so we had lunch, and he said something interesting that I could relate to. And he said, you know, he said, I've lost my father figures, all of them, you know, here on earth. And that struck me because it struck a chord. I can understand what he meant. It's like we have men in our lives that have become spiritual father figures that God allows and puts into our lives in order to mature and to help us and to grow us. But my other thought was, John, I didn't say it, but I thought, John, you're 70 years old, and I'm catching up with you, and it's our turn to be the father figure. You know, we are to be the, you know, that spiritual father figure, and this is how it happens. It is when the Holy Spirit comes into our life and reveals to us what the Father is. He imparts that divine knowledge and that love that God has for us. And it just becomes a love that I think it's contagious. And those are those in your life that just become that wonderful father figure. And I think the same is true for, in a sense, you know, mother figure too. But the Bible speaks of the father figure. Number three, God wants us to know him affectionately. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, what? Abba, Father. Abba, Father. The word Abba, it's Aramaic. It means Father, of course. Now, at first glance, that may not mean much. In fact, it might seem odd, and you're saying, well, the Spirit has been sent into our hearts so that we might cry out, Father, Father. Why the redundant use of this word father? Well, the word Abba in the Aramaic is equivalent to our English word is really as a papa. It's kind of an endearing, you know, a very close, intimate word. And it was the word that was a little child would use to refer to his father as papa. You might even use that word daddy. I think it's just a beautiful word. Just a short excerpt out of my Bible dictionary about the word Abba. It denotes childlike intimacy and trust, not disrespect. It undoubtedly expresses the new relationship with God, proclaimed and lived out by Jesus and then experienced by believers in him. And I'm going to add something to this. Not that it's not enough, but the experience is only available through the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit living inside of us that enables us to experience God and to know him as Abba, Father. And Paul says that the Spirit moves upon our heart. And actually, it says the Spirit cries, Abba, Father. And he imparts to us that wonderful love. I read this story. An old Quaker named Hartman and his son had enlisted in the army, and there was the news of a dreadful battle, and this old father, in fear and in trembling, he started to the scene of conflict that he might learn something concerning his son. And so the officer of the day told him that he had not answered to his name and that there was every reason to believe that he was dead. This did not satisfy the father. So leaving the headquarters, he started across the battlefield looking for the one who was dearer to him than life. And he would stoop down and he would turn over the face of this young man and that and the face of another, but without success. The night came on, and then with a lantern he continued his search, and all to no purpose. And suddenly the wind, which was blowing a gale, extinguished his lantern, and he stood there in the darkness, hardly knowing what to do, until his father's ingenuity, strength, and affection prompted him to call out his son's name. And so he stood and he shouted, "John Hartman, thy father calleth thee." According to the account, all about him who heard him were groaning as they were dying, and someone was saying, "Oh, if only that were my father." And he continued his cry with even more power until at last in the distance he heard his boy's voice crying, trembling, "Here, Father, I'm here." This old man, he made his way across the field and he was shouting, "Thank God, thank God." And he took this young man in his arms and he bore him to the headquarters in the field hospital and nursed him back to health. And at the time that this account was written, the young man was still alive. That somewhat is a picture of our Heavenly Father. You are dearer than life to God as Father. Look at Galatians 4:4. "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might what? That we might receive the adoption as sons." You know the word redeem, it means to purchase. That means that the Father paid a price for you. You are a son by redemption because a price has been paid, and the price was the life of Jesus. So Paul, writing to the Romans, he said, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You don't ever need to question the love of God. Our feelings are fickle. Our circumstances change. Sometimes things do happen where we question the love of God, but that never need be. We can always go back and look at the reality, look at exactly what has happened, look at what God has done, and we discover a God who loves us so much that he would give to us that which was most precious to him so that we could call him Father. And so the Father goes out and he calls our name, longing to be with us. And the Spirit of God is in our hearts, moving us to respond, "Abba, Father, Papa God." What kind of Father is God? Well, he's Abba, Father. Loving, warm, affectionate, at times the perfect disciplinarian, for whom the Father loves, he chastens in love. He's the perfect Father. People still today are offended when you and I speak of this close relationship, and even among Christians. I've shared with some before that on a very well-known Christian college campus that I happened to be there when a man was speaking about God and declared to the students at a Christian university that God is impersonal, that he does not consider us personally, that he does not love us personally, that he has an interest in all of creation, but not in you as an individual. And that came from a Christian, a major Christian university. And that is the teaching going around in some venues. That's a lie. That's the deception. And Satan further wants to deceive you into believing that type of lie, that God is impersonal, that he does not care about you, that he does not love you, and that he doesn't really know all the number of hairs on your head. He will lie to you. He lied to me. And so the scripture teaches us, and Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Oh, that we would be willing to just receive of the Holy Spirit and of all the love the Father has for us, and just enjoy that relationship. This is the greatest Father's Day message there ever was, and I'm not talking about this message personally. I'm talking about the message in this word of God as Father who loves us. And Father in heaven, we thank you that you do love so much your children, and that you paid the price through Jesus, that we could know you, and you send the Holy Spirit to live inside of us, that we might know you even more. Thank you that we have this wonderful Father, Son, Child relationship. Abba, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.